So the prayer that Randy offered up is still continues for the rest of the service. So we're still, it's still good for us. We don't need to pray again. But we're gonna sing and reflect on the Lord's crucifixion this evening, and just encourage us all to enter in. So let's worship the Lord together.
I'm gonna read some scriptures. What shall I do with the one you call King of the Jews? Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, he had him flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace called together a whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then wove a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond any man and formed marred beyond human likeness. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
So the idea behind our getting together on Good Friday like this is just to simply give us opportunity to reflect on what Jesus has done for us. You know, Satan would like to keep us focused on noise, hurry, crowds, all that kind of stuff. And if he can keep us always focused on doing stuff, being busy, even in the religious realm, keeping us always busy, never having time to reflect and be quiet, he's achieved his goal, because we'll never get beyond the superficial parts of our culture, including our religious busyness. So we need times for silence, times to be quiet, to reflect, create emotional space to fill our thoughts with him and hear his voice. And in part, that's what this time is for, just a short space to slow us down enough to quiet all of the other noises and the rush of everyday life in order to give us time for meaningful reflection. So I'm trusting that's what's going to happen. We're going to sing another song right now.
There is a well-known Good Friday sermon. You may have heard it, you may have heard of it. It was made popular years ago by Tony Campolo. And the title of that sermon is, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that's true. And I get that. But tonight, we're not going to go there. Tonight, we're not going to sanitize the sacrifice or the pain with premature Easter joy, or shine the light of Sunday into a very dark Friday. Tonight, we're not going to rush to Sunday morning. We sit with the truth that Jesus Christ was crucified, not symbolically, not metaphorically, not figuratively, but a real body on a real cross, and he suffered a very real death. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus was crucified, darkness came over the land. Joey, would you hit the lights? Thank you. Darkness came over the land. From noon until 3, the light faded. And in that darkness, Jesus cried out, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? This is not a moment that we're meant to figure out or theologize or explain away or candy coat or even fully understand. It is a moment that we are meant to enter. Years ago, the Lord gave me a vision. It was a vision of the cross. And Jesus wasn't on it. It was just the wooden cross. And it wasn't the whole cross. It was just a section of the cross. That part of the cross where Jesus' left hand would have been nailed. And I'm not saying that this is historically accurate, but this is the picture that God gave me. It was not new wood. It wasn't clean, and it wasn't smooth. It looked like it had been used many, many times before. You could see where the nails had been driven and then pulled back out and driven in again. And pulled back out many times over to many different victims. And so the wood was rough and splintered. And the thing that I remember most about that image is that it was dark because blood had been spilled on that part of the cross. And then had dried there, it was almost black. This was not a sacred object. It was an instrument of execution. And not just ordinary execution, this was execution by torture, torturing somebody to death. Tonight we're going to receive communion. And at the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples bread. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And what is it we're supposed to remember? We remember that his body was broken, not by accident, not by circumstances, not by betrayal or the jealousy of the Pharisees or of a cruel Roman government. No, it was given. Offered up, given for you. And tonight in communion, it will be given to you. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples the cup. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we supposed to remember? We remember that his blood was poured out, real blood. Liquid, running blood, poured out, not meaninglessly, but as a covenant, a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. We often picture the nails going through Jesus' hand, but the historians have found that that's not how Romans crucified people. And it makes sense. If you nailed through the hand, when the weight of the body pulled down, it would just rip through. No, rather, the nail was put into the wrist, just below the wrist joint. Now we have two bones, one on either side of our arm, and then we've got the joint. And through that joint, through that carpal tunnel, our tendons, but also a very large bundle of nerves. This part of our body has lots and lots of nerves because it's very sensitive. So that bundle of nerves is quite thick, almost as thick as a pencil, and it goes through that carpal tunnel. Now imagine that the nail was placed on Jesus' wrist right there, and then driven through into the wood behind, pinching that bundle of nerves. The pain would be unthinkable and intense. This is not something we were meant to romanticize. This was what it meant for the Son of God to take on flesh, to take on suffering, and to take on pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain, and to give that flesh to us. That night, when Jesus gave his disciples the bread and the cup, he knew what was coming. He knew he would be betrayed and who would betray him. He knew that he was going to be denied and who would deny him. And he knew before the night was over, his disciples would be scattered. And he knew that the cross was coming. And still, he took the bread. And still, he gave thanks. And still, he gave it to them. And still, he took the cup. And still, he gave thanks. And still, he gave them the cup. Tonight, in communion, he is offering you his broken body and his shed blood. You need this. You need communion. You need this reminder. And you need the cross. And tonight, if you've come carrying something, grief or fear or regret or loss, or confusion, or guilt, or questions that you don't have answers. If you are by any definition suffering tonight, the cross has a message for you. Communion has a message for you. Because the cross tells us that God does not stand far off from suffering. When we suffer, he enters into that suffering and he carries it, he bears it, and he redeems it. So even here, even in suffering, God is at work. You see, the cross was not an accident. This was not God reacting at the last moment. This was not being caught off guard. No, from the moment after Adam and Eve sinned, God had a plan. And that plan ended in the cross to redeem his broken creation. So many teachings in the Old Testament point to the cross. So many events, so many stories, so many rituals, so many symbols and sacrifices, all these things all pointing to the cross, and not just to the cross, but to a specific moment, a second in time, as Jesus was on that cross. Because it was at the moment when Jesus took his last breath and he declared, "It is finished." Amen. In that moment, your sins were forgiven. Not Easter morning, not on Christmas Day, not with all his teaching, not with all his living an exemplary life, not even in the suffering that led up to the cross. When he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, that's when your sins were paid for.
Thank you.
Amen.
This is the communion that Jesus is offering, Jesus is giving you tonight. and the elders can come forward. As the trays are passed tonight, there's no need to hurry through this moment. Take the bread and take the cup and stop. Engage and recognize, not mindlessly, but mindfully, and to the extent of your ability, try to grasp the price that was paid for your deliverance. The work of our salvation was very, very costly. The body of Jesus Christ was broken for you. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. Father God, it is beyond our comprehension what it would have been like for you to plan for all those years to send your son Jesus to fix this broken creation. And ultimately, when the time came for him to be born, to send him, knowing what he was going to suffer. And Jesus, we can't imagine what it would have been like for you to leave the Father's presence and come into this sinful world. We have nothing to offer back except our simple, childlike gratitude. Thank you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, what could be more important than having our sins forgiven? What can you compare the price that was paid so that we could be free, that we could have the slate wiped clean, and know we can spend eternity in your presence? That is the ultimate. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.